I am not sure there is a longing more universal or more difficult to admit than the desire to be wanted. Not needed, not admired, not appreciated, wanted. Beneath our responsibilities, accomplishments, independence, and carefully constructed lives, many of us carry a quiet longing to know that we matter deeply to someone. We want to know that our presence is not merely tolerated but desired. We want to know that someone is genuinely glad we are here. We want to believe that if given the choice, someone would choose us, not because they have to, not because we are useful, not because we have earned it, but simply because they want us. Most of us learn to hide that longing as we get older. We become more self-sufficient. We tell ourselves we do not need reassurance. We learn how to appear strong, capable, and unaffected. Yet every now and then, life exposes the ache that still exists beneath the surface. It happens when a friendship fades, leaving us wondering what changed. It happens when a relationship does not become what we hoped it would become. It happens when invitations never arrive, when phone calls never come, when people move on, or when we find ourselves standing on the outside of something we desperately wanted to belong to. Sometimes it is not one great heartbreak that creates the wound. Sometimes it is a thousand small disappointments collected over the years until they begin to shape the way we see ourselves. Without realizing it, we start gathering evidence. We remember who left, who forgot, who chose someone else, who did not stay, and who did not pursue. Over time, those memories begin to form a narrative, and if we are not careful, that narrative starts speaking louder than the truth. We begin measuring our worth by the responses of other people. We look to relationships for reassurance, to circumstances for validation, and to human affection for answers to questions it was never designed to answer. The result is a kind of exhaustion that many of us know all too well. We spend our lives hoping that something outside of us will finally settle the question that keeps resurfacing within us. The difficult part is that even as Christians, people who know the gospel and believe the promises of Scripture, we are not immune to that struggle. We know God loves us. We know the verses. We know the story of the cross. If someone asked whether we believe Jesus died for us, most of us would answer without hesitation. Yet if I am honest, there have been seasons when another question felt much harder to answer. Not whether Jesus loves me, but whether he truly wants me. I realize that distinction may sound strange at first, but I suspect many people understand exactly what I mean. Love can sometimes feel abstract. It can become a truth we affirm without fully absorbing. To be wanted, however, feels deeply personal. It speaks of relationship, pursuit, and being known completely yet welcomed anyway. The challenge is that we cannot see Jesus. We cannot hear his voice with our ears or watch him walk into a room. Instead, we live by faith, and that faith can feel difficult when our hearts long for tangible evidence. We know his love is true, yet there are seasons when it feels more like theology than experience. Perhaps that is why so many of us spend our lives looking for evidence that we matter, that we are remembered, valued, and wanted. We tell ourselves we are simply paying attention, but often we are conducting an investigation, gathering exhibits, and building a case from the circumstances around us. I think many of us know what it feels like to wait for that kind of evidence. We tell ourselves we are fine, yet we glance at our phones more often than we should. We hope for conversations that never happen. We replay interactions in our minds and wonder whether we mattered as much to someone else as they mattered to us. We look for reassurance in places where reassurance is never guaranteed, and then we are surprised by how deeply it hurts when we do not find it. The older I get, the more I realize that I am often searching for certainty in places where God never promised certainty would be found. We want finite people to provide infinite reassurance. We want changing circumstances to tell us something permanent about our worth. We want earthly evidence to settle a spiritual question. And that is a burden neither people nor circumstances can carry. One thing I continue to notice as I read the Gospels is how often Jesus moved toward the very people who assumed he would pass them by. He He stopped for the woman at the well, even though others avoided her. He called Zacchaeus by name, even though everyone else saw only a tax collector. He allowed a bleeding woman to interrupt his journey and then made sure she knew she had been seen. He restored Peter after failure rather than defining him by it. Everywhere Jesus went, he seemed drawn to the overlooked, the forgotten, the wounded, and the weary. The more I notice that pattern, the harder it is to believe that God's heart is reluctant toward his people. Jesus was constantly crossing distances, distances created by shame, failure, fear, grief, and sin. He never seemed intimidated by brokenness. He never appeared surprised by weakness. He never backed away from those who needed him most. If anything, he seemed drawn toward them. Now, I no longer see isolated stories of compassion. I see a Savior revealing what God has always been like. I see a God who pursues. So often we imagine ourselves pursuing him, searching for him, trying to find our way back to him. Yet Scripture repeatedly tells the opposite story. It tells the story of a shepherd searching for lost sheep, a father running toward a prodigal son, a Savior who came to seek and to save the lost. The story of redemption begins not with humanity reaching for God, but with God reaching for humanity. It is the story of a God who moves toward people who are hiding, wandering, doubting, failing, grieving, and broken. It is the story of a God who pursues. That truth reaches its fullest expression at the cross. When we think about the cross, we often focus on what Jesus saved us from. We think about forgiveness, judgment, redemption, and eternal life. All of those things matter deeply. But the cross also reveals something about the heart of Christ himself. It reveals a Savior who wanted what sin had separated. Jesus knew exactly what awaited him. He knew about the betrayal, the humiliation, the scourging, the nails, and the agony. He knew the cost before he paid it. Yet he went anyway. Not because he was trapped by circumstances beyond his control. Not because he was reluctantly fulfilling an obligation. Not because he simply wanted to solve a problem. He went because he wanted reconciliation where there had been distance. He wanted relationship where there had been separation. He wanted sons and daughters brought home. The cross was not merely God's solution to sin. It was God's declaration that he would not allow sin to have the final word between himself and the people he loved. The older I get, the more remarkable that becomes to me. Christ did not endure the cross because humanity finally became worthy of pursuit. He endured the cross because his love was greater than our unworthiness. He looked at people who could offer him nothing in return and decided they were worth redeeming. He looked at people who would fail him, misunderstand him, doubt him, and abandon him. And he loved them anyway. He loved them enough to come for them. There have been seasons in my own life when I wanted visible evidence that I mattered. I wanted circumstances to cooperate. I wanted relationships to provide reassurance. I wanted tangible proof that I was seen, valued, remembered, and chosen. What I have learned, often reluctantly, is that when those things become the source of my security, my peace becomes fragile. It rises and falls with every unanswered expectation and every changing circumstance. Yet the cross offers something far steadier. It offers evidence that does not fluctuate with the seasons of my life. It offers reassurance that holds true on days when loneliness feels loud and on days when joy comes easily. The cross does not become less true because someone walks away. It does not lose its meaning because a prayer remains unanswered. It does not diminish because a season feels lonely. It remains what it has always been, God's unchanging answer to every fear that whispers we are forgotten, overlooked, or unwanted. Long before another human being had the opportunity to choose us or reject us, Christ made his choice. Long before we proved ourselves worthy, he set his love upon us. Long before we ever thought to seek him, he was already making a way to bring us home. Perhaps that is why the gospel is such good news. not because Jesus found people who were worthy of being pursued, but because he pursued them anyway. Not because he looked at humanity and saw perfection, but because he looked at humanity and saw people he loved enough to redeem. The wonder of the gospel is not that we finally became desirable enough for God. The wonder is that his love was already reaching toward us while we were still far away. That means the deepest question many of us carry has already been answered. Not by a feeling, not by a relationship, not by an invitation, a phone call, a circumstance, or the approval of another person. It was answered by a Savior who left heaven, entered our brokenness, carried our sin, stretched out his hands upon a cross, and rose again so that nothing could separate us from his love. Perhaps that is why the cross means more to me with every passing year. When I was younger, I often viewed it primarily through the lens of forgiveness. I saw it as the place where my debt was paid and my salvation secured. All of that is gloriously true. Yet now I see something else there as well. I see pursuit. I see a God who was unwilling to remain distant from the people he loved. I see a Savior who crossed every barrier that stood between himself and his children. I see the answer to every fear that whispers, "I have been forgotten, overlooked, or unwanted." The scars in his hands are not merely evidence of what he suffered. They are evidence of how far he was willing to go to bring us back to himself. They are evidence that he wanted us badly enough to come and get us. So when life feels quiet, when circumstances seem strangely silent, and when earthly evidence is difficult to find, I hope you will remember where to look. Do not measure God's heart by the changing conditions of your life. Measure it by the unchanging reality of the cross. Long before another human being had the opportunity to choose you or reject you, Christ made his choice. He chose redemption. He chose reconciliation. He chose to make a way where there was none. And he is still choosing you today. The answer has been there all along. You are wanted. Father, thank you for loving us with a love that pursues rather than withdraws, welcomes rather than rejects, and remains steadfast when everything else feels uncertain. Thank you for sending Jesus, not merely to forgive our sins, but to bring us home to you. When loneliness clouds our vision and disappointment tempts us to measure our worth by the responses of other people, remind us of the cross. Help us rest in the unchanging truth that we are known, loved, pursued, and wanted by you. Teach us to live from that assurance each day. In Jesus' name, amen.